In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a part of me that is always daunted and overwhelmed when we approach the feast of our Lord's body, as to what can be said or should be said. We know that there are copious volumes written about the mystery of our Lord's body, the great gift of the Most Holy Eucharist, and of course countless saints, holy men and women who've gone before us, who have witnessed to this great faith in our Lord's real, true, and abiding presence by the manner in which they have lived their own lives, some receiving martyrdom in defense of the Most Holy Eucharist. And so truly, what is it that can be said or ought to be said, lest I either say the wrong thing or don't say enough? And of course, time does not permit to say all that needs to be said. For in truth, 1,000 lifetimes could be led, and still we would not be able to exhaust words to describe, express, articulate this great mystery, this great gift that is given to us. And yet, as we listen to our Lord's exhortation in the 6th chapter of John's Gospel, known to us as the Bread of Life discourse, precisely because it is there the Lord makes very clear of the necessity of his body and his blood, we certainly for a moment must pause and listen to what it is that the Lord tells us, paying heed to the exhortation that in eating his flesh and drinking his blood, we have life within us, the Father in us, the Son in us, and life everlasting. The Lord does not equivocate. The Lord does not mince words. The Lord is not confusing in any manner, shape, or form. You must eat his flesh and drink his blood in order to have life. My flesh is real food. My blood is real drink. Yet again, this is not hyperbole, metaphor, analogy, but true statement. Real food, real drink that gives real new and everlasting life. Apart from him, we can do nothing, we have nothing, we are nothing. But if we remain with God, and an intimacy that he himself has forged for us now in the mystery of the Most Holy Eucharist, it is there that we can bear much and great fruit. The significance of this, brothers and sisters, is not only the clear theology that is articulated for us. There is no doubt or confusion, but also the implications then for us as we go out into the world, which is precisely what we will do at the conclusion of Holy Mass. We will take the living God into the world. The majority of the people whom we will pass, or they will pass us, will have no idea what it is that we do. Or if they do understand what it is they actually are witnessing and seeing, will turn a blind eye and go about their business as if this reality simply does not matter. And yet there is nothing else that matters. The fullness of our faith, as much as one might say it rests in the economy of the Blessed Trinity, or the proclamation of the gift of the Holy Spirit, or the glories of the resurrection and the ascension, all of these are true, but in the Most Holy Eucharist, everything about all that we have celebrated is acceptable to us. It is accessible to us. We are able to eat and live and go forth because the Lord himself has made everything that he has done in his Paschal mystery available to us under the appearance of bread and wine. Simple, unassuming. Maybe because the Eucharist is so simple and unassuming, oftentimes we truly do not understand the gift that has been given to us. But the Lord also understands our inability to truly enter into the august mysteries that he has revealed for us. And so he does keep it simple before us, because oftentimes we're incapable of anything else other that which is as simple as it can possibly be. Gifts of bread and wine, those staples in ancient times that remain staples for us in this age as well. We take our Lord into the highways and the byways so that those who do not know can come to know, and those who have known and abandoned can return in order that they too may have life. One of the many beautiful things about this feast is that the preface that we will pray, that we will chant, is the preface from the Nativity, that wonderful link between the mystery of the Incarnation and the mystery of the Most Holy Eucharist. Again, we might be tempted to reduce this solely to a theological construct, but it is a clear reflection that one who believes in the mystery of the Incarnation must likewise embrace the mystery of the Most Holy Eucharist. The converse then is also true. Those who do not accept our Lord's real, true, and abiding presence in the mystery of the Most Blessed Sacrament ultimately have some confused, misguided understanding of the mystery of the Incarnation. Again, theological import. As we go out into the world to engage our separated brethren, we must realize that while, yes, there are things that unite us, there really, truly are more things that separate us. And as we enter into conversation, we enter in not to become equal with them or believe that somehow they come to the table as equal as we are, but rather to truly evangelize them, to set their hearts on fire so that the confusion of their minds and the manner in which they live their lives can be transformed in the mystery of the living God Himself. All of us, in some way, shape, or form, come from fractured realities, fractured familial dynamics. And if your life is like mine, you are a child of converts possibly, or have Protestants in your families, or those who were Catholic who have abandoned the practice of their faith for something a little bit less complicated, a little less demanding, more emotionally engaging, and is because they did not or do not understand the mystery of the Most Holy Eucharist. If we know who it is that we receive and the gift that has been given to us, there simply is no way on this earth that one can walk away from the practice of their Catholic faith. All the more reason, brothers and sisters, then for us to do what it is that we will do today, to take our Lord out from here, this place of prayer, this place where He truly remains captive for us, in order that the whole world can experience what we are able to experience Sunday after Sunday, day after day. And that is this gift that gives new and everlasting life. The question that always remains as we approach our Eucharistic Lord and understand the task of evangelization that is incumbent upon us, especially if we receive the living God, is to ask ourselves, does my daily life correspond to the reality that I receive? That is not a rhetorical question. It must be at the heart of your spirituality. For to receive the living God, which many of you will come forth and kneel down to do today, commits you to living out this life of profound faith, trust, and confidence in the Lord, a willingness to go and suffer and die in order that everyone might live, to witness by the manner in which you live your life to the truth that the Lord Himself proclaims in our gospel. As we process today with our Eucharistic Lord, as we chant and sing and rejoice and give thanks, so many good and wonderful blessings God continues to bestow upon us, it might be good to pause for a moment and to ask that question. Does my life conform to the one that I honor, the one to whom I give glory, the one that I have received? Am I allowing myself on a daily basis, moment by moment, to be transformed and converted by the mystery of the living God? And if the answer is, I don't know, or maybe not as much, or not at all, today is a good day. In the procession is a good time to rededicate yourself to living a life worthy of the mystery that you receive. This is God's gift to us. Not something that we earn, or something that we deserve, or something that is our right. Rather, it is God's gift of Himself, full and complete and total. So that which He has accomplished for us, which is full, complete, and total, may still remain with us and for us and provide us that life that only comes from our Lord and Savior. Give thanks to God for the gift of the Most Holy Eucharist. Dedicate yourself today and in the days to come to allow the mystery of our Lord who rests inside of you to truly transform you. That as you live here on earth with and through our Lord who brings us to the living God, to the triune God, you may, at the end of time, take your place at the heavenly banquet, which is a foretaste in this, or which for us in this holy sacrifice is a foretaste of what will remain for us. He who eats this bread shall live forever. Let us thank the Lord for this gift of everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.